All right, we are in Philippians and chapter 3. Book of Philippians, chapter 3.
Philippians?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3?
Yep. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together here, Father. We thank you for giving us this new day of grace. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to serve you, to bring glory and honor to you as we come together by your Spirit around your Word. And Father, we pray that you would continue to guide us through this book of Philippians and throughout the service today, Father, and everywhere that your word is being opened this morning, everywhere that there is an ear to hear, Father, we pray that your word would perform with power the purpose for which you sent it. And we thank and praise you for all these things in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Philippians and chapter 3. Let's read verse 15 and following. Paul says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." All right, we've gotten down to verse 16. Now we'll be picking up with verse 17 this morning. And Paul's been talking about this Christian journey of ours, this pursuit, and he talks about it in terms of pressing toward that mark that the Lord has set for us. And he talks about being minded towards those things, toward that truth that God has revealed to us, toward the all the blessings that he's given to us, the perfection, that perfect righteousness that he's given to us, imputed to us in Christ, to be minded toward those things. And as we are minded, he says again in verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." And as we are minded toward that perfection that God has bestowed on us, we press toward that mark. We move toward that ideal, what he calls in Ephesians 4, the fullness of Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he says that's what we're shooting for. And then he tells us in verse 16, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." So we have not attained to this perfection in our lives, but Paul says that you're on your way, you're on that path, you're pressing, you're following after. So what you've already got up until this point, walk by that. Walk in the light that you have. Don't come to understand something out of the Word of God and not let it impact your life. The whole idea of this, get the knowledge, get the doctrine, and then let that move you forward. Don't get the first part and forget the second. So whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, now it's in that context that we get verse 17. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Now the Apostle Paul, come back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, tells us several times to follow him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We want to see what he means by that and why that's important for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks about in verses 10 and 11 and 12 and in down through there some of the things that he's suffered and gone through. In verse 14, we'll pick it up there, 1 Corinthians 4:14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul here again, he says, you want to follow me, be followers of me. Now, what is Paul doing here? I mean, aren't we supposed to be followers of Christ? Well, come back just one chapter to chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's get a look at what's going on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for you are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I of Apollos, and are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So these Corinthian saints, who Paul, we just saw it later on a few verses from here in chapter 4, he says, follow me. They're saying, they're splitting up into these factions and cliques in the church, and some are following, some are saying, I'm of Paul, and some are saying, I'm of Apollos. Others, he says, are saying, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ, and so forth. And the idea is that they're setting these men up as these individual religious teachers and leaders to be followed. And Paul is telling them here, look, you're not following me in that I'm the origin of this truth, of this doctrine, of this philosophy. That's not the issue. When you folks do that, he says to these Corinthians, you're being carnal. You're looking at the man. The Lord is the one that gives the increase. It's the Lord that we who is the architect of this thing, who is the designer, the originator of the truth that I'm preaching to you. He goes on to say, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So Paul, he's very strong on this point with these Corinthians, that it's not about him. Now, we just saw, and we saw it first for a reason, that it's not too long from here, that he's going to tell them, look, follow me. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to send Timothy over to you so he can remind you of my ways that I teach in every church, so that you can be... Now, you know what he says there, actually. I just said it wrong. Follow me. He doesn't say that. He says, be followers of me. That's what he said in Philippians 2. Brethren, be followers together of me. So it's not just something I do, it's something I am, a follower of Paul. So here, he's clear, before he gets to that point, he's clear that it's not about the man. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and He's the one that we serve and that we worship. And yet, we're to follow Paul. Well, he goes on in this passage and explains. Verse 10. He says in verse 9, you're God's husband, you're God's building. We're laboring together with God according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So Paul is not the architect. He didn't design the building that he's talking about here. God is the architect. But what God did was he designed the building, and then he gave the blueprint to the master builder. That's what you do when you want to build a building. And that master builder is Paul. And then it's the master builder's job, what he goes on to call himself in chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what you want to think, Paul says, of me. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So that's what Paul was. He's not the architect. You don't look at Paul that way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul is the master builder. And the blueprint for this body of Christ that you and I are a part of comes from the Apostle Paul. God designed it and gave it to Paul. And then the master builder takes those plans, and what does he do? He communicates that to the workmen who are building the building, right? When Paul talks about us being workmen, you know what he tells us? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, and needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to know the difference. We need to know who our master builder is, and to be followers of him. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So the form, the foundation of this building is laid by the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ gave it to him by direct revelation. He lays the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. That's all of us. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So again, Paul's not the foundation. He just laid the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So now here's the situation. The Apostle Paul has laid the foundation for this thing. Now there are other builders that need to build upon that foundation. But take heed, he says. Take heed, because your work is going to be tried. It's going to be tested. And what's it going to be tested against? It's going to be tested against that form that was laid out for us. Did you follow the blueprint that was committed to you, or did you go off and start doing your own design on this building. So Paul says you need to take heed, and if any man's work abide in verse 14, after the fire tries it, he shall that he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you say, okay, what if I'm a Christian and I don't follow the Apostle Paul? Well, you're still going to be saved. You're going to be saved yet so as by fire. You know what that means? You've seen someone who's standing outside their house as it burns down and lose everything that they've got. They got the shirt on their back. Everything else is gone. That's the idea. Saved yet so as by fire. Paul says, know ye not, verse 16, that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So this is the building he's talking about. He's talking about, he says, ye. Now there's, you know, you as an individual Christian are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. He says, ye. That's a great thing about your King James Bible, is it makes that distinction between ye and you. There's a plural and a singular there. Ye are the temple of God. He's talking to the assembly. And he said, and when he talks about building on this foundation, that's what he's talking about. What are we building into the church? Into this local assembly? Into the to the body of Christ universal? What part are we contributing? What part are you contributing individually? And what part are we as an assembly contributing to the body of Christ? We're building this temple, this habitation of God. And Paul says, don't you know that? Don't you know that that's what you're doing? If any man, verse 17, defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So you don't want to try and build something into the church that's going to end up destroying it. We just read in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, be followers of me, because there are other people out there who walk, they're enemies of the cross of Christ, and their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, and their end is destruction. He that defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now again, that's not losing your salvation. That's being, you know what to destroy something is? It's to render it absolutely unusable. You don't want to be rendered unusable. You got a purpose for which we were created, and that purpose has to do in this dispensation for a member of the body of Christ with being followers of the Apostle Paul. So he... Paul says, again, in chapter 4, verse 1, here's how you think of me and those who follow me. In Philippians, he says, follow me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So he says, here's how you account of us, as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So again, that steward is the same idea of being kind of overseer of the house. That's the Apostle Paul. And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we need to look at the faith of the Apostle Paul, that body of truth that he delivered, got by revelation of Jesus Christ and committed to writing, to words on a page. And we follow that. That's the pattern, the blueprint for us. Come to 1 Timothy chapter 1 with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, you all, you're carnal, because you're breaking up into these different divisions. And the division is based on who I'm going to follow. And he says, some of you say I'm of Paul, and some of you say I'm of Apollos, and some say I'm of Cephas, and some say I'm of Christ. Now, he doesn't tell them all, look at that group that says, I'm of Christ, because that's what you all are. You're all Christians. You're all followers of Christ. The group that was saying, we are of Christ, was not doing the right thing. Because the difference, all of these guys are preaching Christ. Peter, Paul, Apollos, the Lord. The question is, how are you following Him? Where are you following Him from? These people who are saying, we are of Christ, are looking back at Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and saying, there's our man, there's our philosopher, there's the one whose teachings we're going to follow. Some are looking at Paul and saying the same thing. Some are looking at Peter and saying, no, we want to follow that. Paul says, you're all missing the point. Number one, you're God's husbandry. You're God's building. That's where the truth originates. Now, if you want to get to that truth for you and build into this assembly what God is calling you to build, you need to follow me. You need to follow Paul as the steward of the house. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And why he says that in the last clause or so of the verse before, he's talking about sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is going to be according to, that is, in agreement with, the glorious gospel of the blessed God that was committed to Paul's trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So the Apostle Paul, he's talking about his former life, and particularly his former life in relationship to this Jesus. And he says, I persecuted that way. Unto the death, he was hauling men and women into prison, giving his vote against them and so forth, persecuting the church. And he calls himself here the chief of sinners. Now, while he was doing all of that, of course, the people who were leading that church and those people that he was persecuting were following was Peter and the 11, the other apostles, the apostles who came before Paul. Paul says, when that was going on, I was an absolute enemy to this thing, but God had mercy on me, saved me. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So the Apostle Paul, he's just told you about all the things he was doing while those apostles who were apostles before him were doing their work. Now here he says, here's the reason. Here's why God saved me. So that in me first, Jesus Christ could have a pattern to give those that come after. So the Apostle Paul is first. Now he's not the first apostle, right? But the blueprint, he's the master builder for this body of Christ. That church that he was persecuting was not the body of Christ. It was another church. was that kingdom church. So the Apostle Paul, he says, in me first, Jesus Christ showed forth all long-suffering, and that is this dispensation of grace. If the chief of sinners could be saved, then there is no one who the grace of God can't reach in this age. There is no sin that is beyond the forgiveness and the grace of God. Paul is the pattern of this dispensation of grace. He's the example. Again, I laid that foundation. He put down the form. Jesus Christ saved him to be a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So who are you believing on? Well, you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you believing on the Apostle Paul? No. But you're following Paul. To get there, look back in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 11. Now remember, Paul has given us this instruction in Philippians in connection with this Christian life and growth and moving, pressing toward that mark. If we want to be moving in the right direction toward that mark, Paul says, let's walk by the same rule. Let's mind the same thing. Who laid down the rule? The Lord Jesus Christ gave it to the Apostle Paul. That's where you get the rule. To walk by this body of truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So that's it. We want to follow the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ. Now, the only way you can follow Christ today is by following the Apostle Paul. Because you didn't have the truth for today before the Apostle Paul. You try and follow Christ some other way, like in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, or according to Peter, or wherever it is you're getting it from, you're not pressing toward that mark that God has given for you to press toward. We follow Christ as Paul followed Christ. Come over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians. Let every man take heed. We're supposed to pay attention. Who are you getting it from? What form are you building on? You don't want to be contributing destruction to the temple of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So there's the idea. You became followers of us. Paul says, be followers of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. But he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord. In Corinthians, if you wanted to be a follower of Paul, you had to join this group. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you had to join this group. Again, Paul says, no, you got it wrong. You're following Christ as I follow Christ. And by following me, you're following Christ. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say in verse 7 there, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. So now, the Thessalonians, they've got that example of the Apostle Paul and those who were ministering with him. They're following that. And by doing that, they themselves become examples, become ensamples to the people that they're teaching. And that's exactly what Paul says back in Philippians chapter 3. Take a look there, a couple of pages back. Brethren, he says in verse 17, be followers together of me. Throughout this book of Philippians, Paul exhorts these saints to be of one mind. And a lot of that being of one mind has to do with exactly what Paul is talking about here. He told the Corinthians, we just read, you've got 10,000 instructors in Christ. Follow me. You don't have many fathers. You got one father in this that laid down this foundation for you here. You've got all these instructors, that's fine. As long as all of these instructors that you're following are following me. So he says, be followers together of me. Again, that's the body, the assembly. Working together in unity, pursuing this goal, following the Apostle Paul together, like-minded. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an ensample. So Paul says, follow me, mark them who are following me, and follow them. And he tells the Thessalonians, we just read, that that's what you did. You became followers of us and of the Lord, and because you have done that, now you have become ensamples to all of these people who you touch, who you speak to, who you have the opportunity to communicate this truth to. So what's our criteria? Who do we listen to? And we've got 10,000 instructors to listen to, right? Here's the question. Are they following Paul? Are they following Paul? If they're following Paul, then what they've got to say is something that I want to listen to. If they're not, it's not. And this unity that Paul calls for in that is important. It's critical. Because if we've got those divisions going on among us, and all of that carnality, Paul says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? You're building the house of God. The house of God is built according to a pattern. When God gave the commandment to Moses in the wilderness to build a tabernacle, he didn't say make it any way that you think best. He gave him a pattern. He gave him a blueprint. And he said, make it according to the pattern. Now, we now know that every little detail in that tabernacle and then in that temple that followed was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was teaching doctrine. If they had gone off and just built that thing some other way, they'd have been defiling the temple of God. And the people who were supposed to learn from that doctrine that thing taught would have been led astray. It's important that we build according to the pattern. The Apostle Paul is the pattern that God has given to us. Minute detail. It's okay. It's okay to be zealous about doing it the way that God says to do it. You know what Paul says? He says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. See, that's what we magnify. magnify the man. He's the chief of sinners. Got a lot of respect for the man, but the fact is that the best of men are men at best. But his office, see, he didn't take that upon himself. That was given to him. He says, a dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, it don't matter, because this dispensation was committed to me. I've got it. Now you've got it. The question is the same for you as it was for Paul. What are you going to do with it? Paul says, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. So you and I, we look at the Apostle Paul, and we look at the teachers that we have to choose from, thousands of instructors, and we find the ones that are following Paul. And then we all together become followers of Christ as Paul followed Christ. He says, mark them. Identify them. Notice them. And follow them. Paul says, again, I didn't finish the quote, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. That's why I'm talking to you Gentiles at Rome. Romans 11. I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my kinsmen, my brethren, according to the flesh. Paul wants the Jews, the unsaved Jews, to emulate him. Imitate him. That's what we see. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of all men, our Savior. That means you go out into the world and it doesn't matter what philosophy or what religion the person that you're talking to holds to. It doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer for that person and is the only salvation for that person. He's the only salvation for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only salvation for anyone. There's all kind of people out there trying to find their way to God. And the way to God is not in Buddha, and it's not in Muhammad, and it's not in all of these different... There are not many roads to God. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that all of these people out here need to come to know. Now, that being true, there are a lot of people out here who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who are saved. And what they need to do is they need to start following the Apostle Paul. You understand what I'm saying to you? To provoke to emulation people who don't have this yet. Paul says, follow me. I'm on this road. I'm pressing toward this mark. Be followers together of me. You go off some other way thinking that you're pressing toward something, you're not pressing toward what the Lord gave you. Paul says it's good to be zealously affected in a good thing. These other teachers out here, he tells the Galatians, they zealously affect you, but not well. Paul said you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? They started out following Paul. Then he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Following those other teachers. Following those other teachers. And Paul says, they're zealously affecting you, but not well. You want to have zeal, but you want to have it in the right direction. Listen, you're going to expend energy here in this life. Press toward the right thing and do it the right way according to the pattern. The patterns that God gives are not unimportant. That's why we study. That's why we learn these things. That's why we read. That's why we come together to get the details of this pattern. And then to include that and build that into our lives, into this assembly, and then into the body of Christ. So Paul says, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. So that's what we want to do. We want to be ensamples. Come over to 2 Timothy with me. Chapter 2. Paul says, follow me, mark them that follow me. You have us for an ensample. But again, he told the Thessalonians that after you did that, you then became ensamples. So that's really kind of what we're shooting for here. I don't just want to follow an example. I want to be an example. And I want to be an example of this pattern that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down for the body in and through the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So that's the idea. The things that you've heard of me, Paul, among many witnesses, the same, not different, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Take the example, and then be the example. And be the example to others who are going to be able to be the example to the next generation. But you know, there's a little clause in this verse that we don't often stop to notice. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. You know, the idea there is, there's that group out there who's following me, who knows what I teach, who knows Pauline doctrine. And Timothy, you're accountable to them. Just like you're accountable to those people who come after, those many witnesses there are there to keep you straight and to keep you in line and to keep you teaching the things that thou hast heard of me. He says, you've heard this among many witnesses. So you're not the only one that has it. You've got a group of people out here who understand Pauline truth and Pauline doctrine. And our job is to be witness to it and to keep each other on that road, pressing toward that mark. And to bring as many in as we possibly can. Just like as Christians, our job is to go out there to the unsaved world and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, those Christians out there, saved people, if they're not building on the foundation here, they're defiling the temple of God and God's going to destroy them. You don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. The Lord certainly doesn't want to see it. Render them useless, Paul says, in a great house. There's all kind of vessels. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Amen. Some are usable and some not so much. Amen. You want all the vessels to be usable. You want to be usable. And you want to be used. Don't want to just sit on the shelf collecting dust. It's important. Paul talks over and over again about them that believe and have come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not enough to get them to believe. Take them beyond that. To believe and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So to the lost, unbelieving world, we want them to believe. To the believing world, we want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're evangelists in both cases. Paul says, be followers together of me. Mark them that walk so, as you have us for an ensample, and the result of that is that you yourself become an ensample, a pattern for others to emulate. We will go on, Paul says, I'm telling you this because there's some other people who walk some other way. And those are not unreligious people. And those are not necessarily opposers of Christ. And yet they're enemies of the cross. And we'll talk about that next time. Do you have a question or a comment? Yes, sir.
Following up on what you said about many instructors in Christ.
Yeah.
A lot of Bible teachers, they'll say, well, Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. I'm following Paul. Or my pastor, I teach that we should take Jewish vows. I'm following Paul. Or I should circumcise half Jews. I'm following Paul.
Yeah.
We should go to the Jew first. I'm following Paul. So following Paul isn't just taking everything that Paul did and taking it in one big lump sum and then following all that. Following Paul is following Paul. You have to follow him progressively all the way through
That's
his
great.
Ministry
That's excellent.
To the end.
Very good.
You don't just hodgepodge and take
right.
collectively everything he did. You have to follow Paul and continue to follow Paul.
Mm-hmm.
In Acts, follow Paul all the way down to the end.
Right. Very good. That is excellent. Does everybody understand what he just said? Because that is a fantastic point. Okay. Progressively.
Now, yeah. Philippians 3:18 is what you're going to speak of next.
Mm-hmm.
About that they are the enemy of the cross.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex.
You know, so many ministers today, you know, they're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they pick stuff out of Paul and to make everybody feel good in the church.
Yeah.
But salvation is in Paul.
Amen.
It's there.
Amen.
If you want to get saved, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got to be in Paul.
Amen.
Because it's right there in Romans.
Amen.
It's there.
Amen.
And it's so plain.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry to get carried away, but I love
you. Yep, cheers for Christ.
Yes, for cheers.
Yeah. We are followers together of Paul. All right, what you got, Pete?
So we can say about over 90% of the assemblies gathered yesterday, they actually are not following Paul. And there are those assemblies that are like the Jehovah Witnesses, which don't have a foundation.
Yep.
But that verse that says there are some that preach for the right reasons and some that preach for the wrong reasons, they both honor God. How does that apply in that sense?
Well, I don't believe that Paul is talking about unsaved people, like someone like Jehovah's Witnesses. He's talking about in that... Yeah, he's talking there in chapter 1, I believe. He's talking more about their motives. He says some preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, and others of love, knowing I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Either way, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Both of those, it seems to me that they're not preaching Christ incorrectly. The question there has to do more with their motives. Now, one's motive is against the Apostle Paul and the other one's for him. So there's a definite good and bad there in that passage. But, yeah, I would not say, well, the Jehovah's Witnesses are preaching Christ and New Age people preach Christ, and as long as Christ is being preached, I'm all good with it. You know, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's a good. Exactly. Right. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, Brady.
Yeah, to follow Paul. Remember that, like Paul said, always press toward that mark.
that mark, that goal we're trying to reach in Christ. We got to always be pressing.
Yeah.
And follow Him and commit His word at all the time, you know, and that's our ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
Just press, always pressing toward that perfection which we have attained, which we're trying to.
Amen. Amen. And we learn about that in this revelation that the Lord gave to Paul. You don't get it elsewhere.
Yeah. You can really see what Paul had to go through with the unlearning, the Jewish thing, because I think it's easier to take somebody who's totally unsaved
yeah.
and teach them than to take somebody who thinks they already know that
right.
and try to change their mind.
It's always hard to unlearn stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, Paul is a pattern of that too, because he was deep in that stuff that he needed to eventually throw out. And yeah, it must have been difficult for him. Yeah.
All right. You know, the thing about it is too, you know, if you're trying to talk to someone about that, and you've got to make that cut, you've got to divide that word.
Yeah.
You got to get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over here, and you got to get Paul over here, and you got to be able to understand that.
Yeah.
And that's so important to get that word divided, because they're so caught up in Matthew, Mark, and John.
It's a good point. People try to blend everything together, and they don't want to recognize that there are, in fact, divisions in the Scripture, and we're commanded to acknowledge that. Yeah. It's a good point. Thanks, y'all.
Well, even worse, they don't take their Bible.